superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You know, for all the ladies out there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you serious?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tony La Russa's back.
How do you relate to a 22-year-old?
Man, he was the White Sox manager 41 years ago.
His entire roster was not born.
The Rich Eisen Show.
When he was the White Sox manager.
Today's guests, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Walker Buehler, host of the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz, Dan Levitard, actor Omari Hardwick, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Wow. I mean, all right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's the Friday before Halloween. It's the Friday after the Week 8 Thursday night football kickoff to the 2020 season.
Hey, the Falcons were bad last night.
Hey, they just go higher register right off the bat. It is a higher register Friday, as always, here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll give you our takes that we need to go in that higher falsetto to pass along stern belief in our takes best we can, that we truly believe what it is. How you doing over there, Chris Brockman?
Hey.
Good to see you.
I'm great. What's happening?
I am well. Good to see Mike Del Tufo.
Good
where
to
you
see
are.
You.
And social media grandmaster TJ Jefferson for the Rich Eisen Show settling into his seat. And
welcome to the kingdom.
Thank you very much. I think we need to explain to the radio audience what we saw kicking off our show here on Peacock.
Yep.
Which is TJ Jefferson dressed as whom? What are you dressed as today?
For the Walking Dead fans, I am King Ezekiel. But I merged them, Rich, with Ezekiel Elliott because we're sports.
Okay.
So I made myself King Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
And Sheba, your tiger.
So you have brought a stuffed animal tiger to the show today.
That's not real, right?
It's a real tiger.
My gosh, I guess we needed to clear that with security.
She's sedated though.
Okay, and you're wearing a very long wig. And is that a shillelagh that you just putted with to start the show with, or what?
It's a walking stick.
It's a walking stick.
When you have to take care of walkers in the dead. Welcome
so,
to the kingdom.
Well done. Well done, TJ Jefferson. Is that also a golf glove on your left hand that you're wearing as well for your putting?
Well, this is to protect against walkers, and this is a Jason Witten used glove to keep with my Dallas.
Wow. Part of it. Fantastic.
Witten hooked you up with a glove?
Okay.
I mean, you know I do, bro.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It's amazing that you'd come dressed as that. Mike Del Tufo is dressed as an audio executive who wears free stuff to work every day.
You look great, yep. Mike.
Amazing
you look
great.
Free shirt. Chris Brockman looks like a hard-bitten shell of a Boston sports fan whose Patriots might be without Stephon Gilmore in freezing cold and windy and rainy Buffalo to drop to an unheard of 2-5 on the season. With Mookie Betts' new teammate, Walker Buehler, appearing on the Rich Eisen Show coming up an hour or two. That's how you're dressed today.
Buehler. That's how I feel every day, Rich.
And I'm dressed as the best dad ever.
And you nailed it.
In mauve.
In mauve.
In mauve. And then there's mauve. I am wearing mauve today.
And then there's
mauve. And then there's mauve. I'm wearing mauve.
For those that don't know,
and you didn't get the memo, so we're not dressing up today. Exactly.
I got the memo, and that's exactly why I did it. For those that don't know, your sweater game has been the topic of our online conversation for months.
Who's our online? You're talking in your capacity of the
of our social media. Yes.
Okay.
You remember our YouTube feed? Your sweater of the day was the big thing.
So yes.
It's good to see you in the mauve sweater.
And you know, we're thrilled to be here on Peacock. And one of the many things that I'm thrilled about is that now that we're off of YouTube and on Peacock, 22 million subscribers,
wow.
As it was
Ooh,
reported
baby.
Yesterday by our friends at NBC Universal. Hello, Jeff, the top of the food chain.
I hope he approves.
I hope he approves me referring to him as such as well on this program. That 22 million subscribers, our chat room in that esteemed platform that shall no longer be our platform for the moment. Now we're on Peacock. The chat room was called the 454s, mm-hmm. Which they all asked to be called because that was my Uber rating.
And you haven't taken
drivers,
an Uber
and
since.
I haven't taken an
still,
Uber since.
It's still 454.
Might have dropped. You should look, Rich. It may
Why
have
would it change?
For non-use.
I haven't been in
a... Oh, non-use.
Non-use. You might have dropped.
Is that right?
If you're 452 now, that's going to be amazing.
Non-use. He's a 450.
I have not opened this app in a long time.
For those who don't know, this carried us pretty much through the summer. Rich is terrible Uber.
I don't understand
the Uber rating
it. I don't get it. No, I'm still 454.
All right.
I'm still right where I am. I'm maintaining like my weight in this pandemic.
Well done.
Thank you. What the hell happened last night?
In the football game?
Yeah.
I think the Falcons are a better team than their record shows, and they kind of, you know, balled out last night.
They
could be 5-3, if you think about it.
Yeah, Chris and I had that talk yesterday.
You know who's in the top five running backs in the NFL? Todd Gurley.
Yeah. 8 touchdowns.
Todd Gurley is one of the – I'm not going higher register either. Todd Gurley is one of the top five running backs in the National Football League. He's running. He's scoring. He's scoring when he's told not to score. He's been terrific. And the Falcons, if Gurley had not scored when they weren't supposed to score, they would be 3-5 instead of 2-6. And then the Carolina Panthers, you know, I picked them to win last night. I thought that they would hold serve at home. I thought that Mike Davis would perform well enough to get that run game going, and Curtis Samuel get the first rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. But Matt Ryan, I've never seen him run one in from as far away as he ran one in, and it looked like he was running on a treadmill, but he kept gaining ground, and he had a rushing touchdown last night. No passing touchdowns, a 137 for Julio Jones. That's, I guess, the formula is Todd Gurley takes some of the pressure off of Matt Ryan, and then the defense showed up. Number of times that Carolina went for it on fourth down, got stopped, or needed that first down and force a fourth down and a punt and get off the field. Atlanta's defense got off the field last night in a way that Carolina's could not in the fourth quarter. Atlanta taking the lead. You know, typical to their form, adding to the lead in a way that would make it a 2-score game, and their place kicker, who was nailing it from all over the place, couldn't make an extra point, and Koo could not make it a 2-possession game. And I thought, well, there we go again, the trap door's open again for Atlanta.
Yep.
And the one thing you know for sure that's a given is Arthur Blank's going to show up on the sideline, standing there, inspecting it. I mean, that's old school ownership. Jerry Jones, or every time Arthur Blank standing on that field.
Bad things happen at the end.
Well, I mean, and to his credit, he's consistent. He'll stand out there and he'll watch the awfulness. And then last night, there he's standing there.
I think his jacket was trending
last
night.
Excuse me. To show up in a rainy night in Valor is very risky. It's a risky play.
It's a billionaire move.
It's a risky play. Draped in velour.
If it were socially acceptable.
But it all worked out, and I put my fourth down. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? Part of it was just to kind of give you the warm embrace because Atlanta was taking it on the chin left and right, up and down, and you and your household over there. But that Atlanta would be in the running for the 7th seed. And if they had won last week, 3-5 would be in the running for 7th seed potentially.
That's crazy.
So Carolina is 11th seed, and we are officially at 2-5, putting the Falcons on the board.
Definite.
Well, is that an accurate record for them? Are they two and six? They're 2-6.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys are 2-5. Ben DiNucci's going to get that start on Sunday Night Football. It looks like that's one of the many items I need you to keep an eye on, Christopher. Going into Sunday Night Football, please.
Got it.
And and now Atlanta again at 2-6 has to at the halfway part run the table. Matt Ryan discussed that exact point last night.
You know, and so we've had some crazy losses, you know, just to be frank. And I really believe that we've got the, you know, caliber of team to go be in every game what we're going to play the rest of the season. And why can't we win them all? You know, that's the mindset that I have.
That's what you're going to have. Are you all right over there? Because I know that Matt Ryan was so close to the camera, and that's what you spent 5 minutes before the show.
I looked down for a second and kind of...
No. I know.
I don't like these Zoom with the faces so close. Someone's got to put the guys a little farther away. Look, I mean, it just disturbs me.
This is Mike's... This is the first hot take of today of this Friday show.
It's disturbing. It's like, put them on a camera. They got a press guy. Everyone's got a press person that's there with them, you know. That,
right.
Just put them on like a camera farther away a little.
I think Matt Ryan could be a Zoom close talker. We've seen them. Mm. We've seen them all.
Like
Foles is a Zoom close talker.
But if they're sitting at a desk and the laptop is right here, I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's how it's going to look.
Hey, look.
I know.
It's confirmed to me now. And I do want to, before I get to the ultimate button on this, I do want to mention as well last night the absolute cheap shot that Teddy Bridgewater took in the game. What, Harris, the name of the defender? I mean, we have got to. This is now two straight weeks in the NFL where a quarterback is clearly done with the play and has gotten blown up, knocked out. Now Teddy came back in. But he's lucky. Dalton, as we know, might not play on Sunday Night Football because John Bostic took his shot. Both of the guys got ejected. But Charles Harris coming through. By the way, first up, can Dante Fowler, can we not trip people? You know, I know that, you know, it's the heat of the moment. You know when you're sticking your leg out like that.
Yeah, that was a little much.
That's cheap, too. I mean, you know you're not supposed to. We know that. You could even make the case if you want. Well, Rich, how is Harris supposed to stop? He's going to stop this guy. He's coming at you, blah, blah, blah. We could talk about the gray area of holding up and pulling up short. I mean, can we not trip people? We know that. That's one penalty. And then as the trip caused Bridgewater to take a different tack towards the ground. We're going to have to start finding people. Considerable, and I'm not a guy who normally says take your hand and put it in somebody else's pocket, but we're talking about serious injury at stake right here. That was awful to see last night, but I'm glad that he returned. Awful cheap shot. So what this does for me is the Carolina Panthers story, and there is still a half a season to go, but the Carolina Panthers story as of 2 weeks ago was kind of the old higher register of like, hey, maybe they got a shot in this division. You know, I know Christian McCaffrey's out, but hey, I mean, you know, Bridgewater's doing what he's doing and the receivers are doing what they're doing and maybe they got a shot. They're 3-5 right now. And as soon as the Buccaneers are done with the Giants on Monday Night Football, that will be two games between, six and two and 3-5. That'll be three games. Between two. This is a two-team race. And this adds a little bit more intensity to the fact that the Saints have gotten a game against the Bears coming up this weekend. And then next week, it's Tampa and the Saints. This is huge. Huge in the NFC South. And the Panthers at 3-5, that is no bueno. If you, to win this division, it will be quite a long haul once the Bucs take care of the Giants on Monday night. Can they make the playoffs? Sure. Seventh seed out there? Sure. The split moment where I thought this could be a three-horse race potentially in the NFC South, the last 2 weeks, gone out the window. Because of the way the Bucs have looked, the way the Panthers have looked, the way the Bucs are expected to look Monday night. I know that's not a terrible hot take right there, but it is something that we're looking at right now. Certainly one team's coming out of the NFC East. One team, I believe, is coming out of the NFC North. And then two is going to come out of the West. Unless the Saints can somehow pull it together in a manner that we haven't seen consistently from them. I want you to keep an eye on the Michael Thomas news, too, Chris, over the next 3 hours. We've got four guests, four wide. I mentioned Walker Buehler of the champion Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been kind enough to call into this show later on this day. Next hour, Dan Lebatard will be joining us, and Omari Hardwick in hour number three. Omari, former Georgia Bulldog, who tried to get a cup of coffee in the NFL and said, you know what, I'll try and act.
That worked out.
Hit it big in the hit show Power and is now in Paramount's Spell that will be in select theaters and available on home premium video and demand and digital starting today. Dan's going to be joining us at the top of hour number three because I wanted to speak to somebody straight from South Florida about Tua's first start. Is this the moment that Dolphins fans have been waiting for? Not just for Marino and finding the successor to him, but we were talking about tanking for Tua for years in Miami, and now they are about to finally start him in a game against the Los Angeles Rams. What does this all mean for South Florida? I do want to hit him a little bit on the Miami Heat's plans, which everybody here does believe includes going after Giannis. I'm still saying don't break that team up. I wonder if he'll just join the chorus of like, Rich, what the hell are you out of your mind? But we haven't spoken to Dan on this show in a very long time. The host of his own very popular television and radio simulcast, as well as a handful of shows and podcasts for ESPN. Dan Lebatard will join us in hour number three. But Bruce Feldman's going to join us next. And lots going on to talk about with Bruce as we're getting set for another college football weekend. Clemson will be without Trevor Lawrence, who has tested positive for COVID-19. So the most famous player in college football has the virus. So does Heisman Trophy winner Desmond Howard. Des took to Twitter to announce that he is going to be shelved for the moment off of College Game Day. The show that precedes us, the Dan Patrick Show right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, had Chris Fowler, who's calling Ohio State and Penn State. That's the big game tomorrow night. Wisconsin, as we all know, is not playing Nebraska, which tried to schedule UT Chattanooga, who last I checked is not in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten said, hey, look, I know that they've tested clean at UT Chattanooga, and I know you really want to, you know, stay sharp. Got it. Understood. But we're not crossing vectors outside of the Big Ten because, you know, these are the rules we agreed to make sure that, A, we're playing football, and B, you're not going to keep suing us. I mean, let me just spend just a quick hot minute on this. Hey, Nebraska, you're part of the Big Ten. If you don't want to be part of the Big Ten, there's the door. We didn't want you. We didn't want you to begin with. Okay, we didn't need you. We didn't want you. I honestly don't understand. Let's bring somebody from another conference in and play football against them. And then what? Then put it in the lap of the Big Ten and say, you, at least you, we'll force you to say no. When you know what the answer's going to be, like, what are we doing? And yes, part of that is bottled up within me.
I could sense
because
that, yeah.
Michigan's national championship season of 1997 was cut in half, shared with Nebraska as a gold watch present to the retiring Tom Osborne.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
Oh, it's not a hot take. I wish I could go. You remember we talked about the other day going back in the DeLorean and go back in time?
Sure.
Wave a wand and put my Wolverines against that Nebraska team one game and see who wins.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. We have the Heisman Trophy winner, Chris. One of the greatest game-changing players in the history of college football. and I know Ryan Leaf showed up, and they gave us all we could handle in the Rose Bowl. That's what always happens to Michigan. One game. I wish. You take Nebraska in that game in 1997? You remember that?
I do. I'm gonna parse this out and see what the hypothetical spread might be.
Great. You do that. But honestly, you know what? I like Scott Frost, and I like, you know, obviously one of the captains is the son of one of my favorite people on the planet, and Kurt Warner.
Scott Frost was the quarterback in 97.
I know. We've had conversations about all that.
I'm on green.
We've had conversations about all that. But I don't understand. Like, yeah, let's go try and get somebody else out of the conference when we decided we're got to be staying in conference. You know, so their protocols are different than the Big Ten's, but they tested clear. Let's test them when they arrive. So that'll be fine. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic before Walker Buehler, Dan Le Batard, Omari Hardwick, and you. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody. And hey, I could not be more thrilled. That was exciting yesterday to see 22 million subscribers here on this platform and growing. And
thank you.
Are thrilled to be part of the live function. This is so rare for a streamer to have a live channel. We're thrilled to be on it. Did you see Stephen King was tweeting out about Peacock? Because Mr. Mercedes is a hit. Because Mr. Mercedes is a hit on Peacock. And I felt the need to retweet it and say, hey, should also be mentioned, Audience Network Creations, the Rich Eisen Show and the Dan Patrick Show are on Peacock every day, too.
We're all here. Yeah.
I saw you piggyback that.
I did, because I'm proud of it, you know, and everybody here who's worked on Audience Network and people who are still around the campus here should be very proud.
There's not a lot of us, though.
I hear you, but, I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Definitely.
And I just kind of wanted to mention that and thank everybody out there and who's watching up the Peacock chain, that we're thrilled to be here. 22 million strong, and thank you for everybody out there. We're getting a lot of people calling in saying, hey, watching on Peacock now, and it's excellent. Very excited.
Did you mention it was free?
It is free, and I'm assuming everybody out there is watching is free. And then when you're done, let me get right here. Right here is where the sports part of the drop-down is, and you can check out the Rich Eisen Show there, too, when it's all done.
That's course knowledge.
Okay. Is our radio audience close to returning? Or we're back here? Oh, great. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and we say hello to our friends in particular, Mightier 1090 on our terrestrial radio network, Sirius XM Channel 211. We follow the Dan Patrick Show every day there, as well as right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. And joining us right now from The Athletic and Fox Sports to talk about the remarkable headlines from college football is our friend Bruce Feldman. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing well, Rich. Good to be on with you.
Good to be having you here as well. Let's start with the story of the most famous player, if not the de facto Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft, Trevor Lawrence, having COVID-19. I'll give you the floor on what you think this means writ large for everyone.
Well, in the short term, obviously, Trevor has come out and said he is experiencing mild symptoms. We hope that's the extent of it. And look, from our reporting, I believe he was the only one who has tested positive this week on the football team at Clemson. So hopefully this is an isolated case and not one where you're seeing it in Wisconsin or, you know, saw it at Florida or Baylor or a handful of other places that have had it spread through a program. In this case, it's obviously, as you said, it's it's the Heisman front runner and the most famous college football player out there right now. He will not play this weekend against Boston College. Now, strictly from a football standpoint, the next week they play what is expected to be their toughest regular season game, and that's on the road at Notre Dame. And so through the ACC's guidelines connected to the CDC, so there's basically a 10-day period where from the time that he either first experiences symptoms, which could have been actually Monday or Tuesday, or we've been told that he tested positive on Wednesday. So there is a chance he could be back in time to play in the Notre Dame game a week from Saturday. But there's a lot of TBDs right now to be sorted out on that front. And certainly, even if he were to play in that game, aside from Zooms and some of those things he could do remotely, it doesn't look like he would have hardly any time, if at all, to practice with the team over the next 10 days.
Well, and then, we're also just assuming that it would be just like the flu for him. You know, he'll get through it and that'll be that. And, you know, we all know that there are some people who have mild symptoms and then get through COVID-19 and can actually return to active normal life for them, whatever that means. But maybe not a game against Notre Dame. And that is entirely possible. But what does it mean, do you think, here in general for Clemson, the ACC, and everyone? Is it just like, I guess, the same thing as what we're seeing in the NFL each week, that you figure out what their close contacts are, et cetera? And then I'm reading that he lives alone, so he doesn't have a roommate or anything like that to worry about.
Right, and they are testing, the rest of his teammates did get tested. So if there are no other subsequent positives, that's certainly a good development for Clemson. As you said, both he and Dabo Swinney said that he is only experiencing mild symptoms, and hopefully that's all it is. This shows that, anybody in college football can get this. I mean, we've seen certainly anybody can get this, but you're seeing cases certainly in the Big Ten footprint and hospitalizations in Wisconsin, especially going up. And then obviously Wisconsin is dealing with it with, I think it's now 8 staff members, including the head coach, Paul Christ. So it's just, in a way, it's stunning to see, Trevor Lawrence getting it and announcing he's testing positive. But it's 2020. I don't think, especially after, you're watching the World Series and you're like, nothing should be shocking at this point.
So let's talk about Wisconsin. I'm on with Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports. Let's talk about Wisconsin and Graham Mertz and as you mentioned, many staff members, including the head coach, having COVID-19. The game with Nebraska has been canceled, right? It's not it's not going to be like the NFL where they're going to add a week on at the end, right? If you don't play it, it's finished.
Yeah, and correct? It's not like there's other conferences who've had, we've had to make the – not really semantics, but to say, oh, that game's been postponed. Well, these games in the Big Ten are getting canceled because there was no margin for error, no wiggle room in the schedule, just because it's all crammed in because they ended up with a later starting date, obviously October 24th, and now they're trying to get teams, hopefully for their sake, to get as many games as possible in, so then they hope that their champion could be measured accordingly with the CFP, who's going to probably have some other teams that may have more games, right? So we'll see how this plays out. I don't, it's a stretch to probably think Wisconsin is the only Big Ten program that's going to have to deal with some of these issues. Now, they do not have some of the same protocols as the other conferences who have this 53-man roster kind of threshold. There are different thresholds they have in here, but this was a Wisconsin determination. And keep in mind, unlike Clemson right now, where it's only Trevor Lawrence and the quarterback who's tested positive, you had the guy who was the starter before Graham Mertz, Jack Cohen, is dealing with a foot injury. He's out. So then you have Graham Mertz test positive. You had Chase Wolf, the third-string quarterback, test positive. Right now, they would be down to their fourth-string quarterback. And because of the minimum 21-day period that is on players if you test positive, and again, it's a minimum, not a maximum, that they're going to be having their fourth-string quarterback, even if they can play next week against Purdue, then it's likely to be Danny Vandenberg, a former or have to run the offense.
Well, what are you hearing about a movement afoot potentially, Bruce, that in the same way that the Big Ten said, well, our initial decision to not play at all this fall was changed based on, you know, testing, advances and testing and, understanding the science a little better, that the protocol to keep a kid out 21 days if they test positive, that can be changed because now there's a different way to approach somebody who has COVID-19. Is there a movement afoot to try and loosen those restrictions, the 21-day?
Right now, Rich, there's been some chatter about it, and I'm not sure it's been that much more than that. SI.com had an interesting story 2 days ago about it. Barry Alvarez, the Wisconsin AD, was quoted in it, and Barry Alvarez is a very influential figure. And look, let's be honest, Barry Alvarez's program is the one who is right now most in the crosshairs of this kind of discussion. So, you know, when I had talked to people a week ago about this and the testing out process and some of the other things, also when it comes to, I had heard from some programs in the Big Ten, they were dealing with a bunch of false positives and what that led to. So I think there's a lot of discussion, I would call it chatter. When I had reached out to some higher up folks in the Big Ten, I did not get that they were gonna, you know, pull back on what they'd already put in place. And when I asked Paul Chryst on Monday about their stricter protocols in other conferences, he told me he was comfortable with it because they were part of the discussions, and that's what the doctors and the experts and the chancellors and the presidents had agreed to in order for them to play. So we'll see where this goes. I mean, it's definitely something we're going to monitor to see if there's more movement on it. But at this point, it's just kind of a talking point.
Let's talk now a little bit, Bruce Feldman, about how Nebraska tried to fill the void of their game with Wisconsin being canceled, trying to get UT Chattanooga, whose conference decided to punt to next winter, I guess. Next February is UT Chattanooga's next scheduled game. Try to get them into Nebraska to play, and the Big Ten said no to that. So let me ask you a couple questions on this one. Number one, was it not decided before the schedule began that any canceled games could not be filled in with somebody from outside the Big Ten? Wasn't that already a given?
Yeah, those discussions, I think, were had to some degree, and I don't know. You know, I think the pushback has come from Nebraska on a couple of fronts as it relates to this, and they went down the road, and I think what was significant to me to this by the Big Ten making its, you know, kind of statement on this is, as I said, a minute ago, it would not be very surprising if some other programs have postponements. Maybe they're not of their own doing where they can play, but their opponent can't. And yet they're going to say, all right, well, you know, it's not just, I mean, look, everybody watched Nebraska get thumped pretty soundly by Ohio State. The idea that Nebraska is worried about trying to get consideration for the CFP seems really far-fetched at this point. But what I think is a real consideration on their front is, one, you know, their players only get so many windows at games in the fall, and that would be obviously a nod to them. But also it's, you know, because, again, the Big Ten's it's not like they're bringing in, fans now. So it's not like a huge gate opportunity as it is in other parts of college football. So from that standpoint, I don't think Nebraska's looking at going, hey, we'll have a win because it's UT Chattanooga. For the most part, I don't think anyone's going to go, you know, give them a big pat on the back for that. I just think it's an opportunity for the players first and foremost. And I think that was one of the big considerations they were trying to push.
No, and I know that everybody wants reps and everyone wants games. And the point of having these games, if you do want to put the finances and the fact that, you know, the Big Ten will have a marquee event for a second straight week with Fowler and Herbstreit calling it. And, you know, you're checking a box with ESPN and you're checking a box about national prominence and keeping your team and your leagues right out there in front. And I totally get that Nebraska wants to have their kids play football. That's the idea of why they sued to get the attention of the Big Ten. But to try somebody from out of the conference and say, you know what, we'll just test them and then throw Nebraska back in the vector of the conference after that, to me, is madness. That's the only word for it to me. And I will ask this question, you know, based again on the reporting of our colleague Dan Wetzel at Yahoo. Does Nebraska want to be in the Big Ten? Seriously. Like, do they want to be part of this?
It really doesn't feel like it at this point, to be honest, because if you go back, a couple of decades now, you know, Nebraska, as you and I both grew up around, was, you know, a powerhouse in the Big Eight. It was Nebraska and Oklahoma, and they were the heaviest of heavyweights. And then when they ended up in what was the Big 12, the power base really became Texas, right? I mean, that's kind of what it was. Texas was had more influence and everything like that. And I think Nebraska bristled at that. And over time, Nebraska's program really has backslid quite a bit. I don't want to say it's backslid into mediocrity, but I don't want to say it's irrelevant either, because they have a really strong fan base and they've had some good teams and obviously had some good players. But I think this part, they have wrestled with their own place, and maybe that, I don't think, is sitting well with a lot of folks there. And you look at this, and I'm not sure what the expectation is. Would they rather be in the Big 12 right now? They left the Big 12. Is that where they'd rather be? Because I'm not sure how much different the treatment is going to be if they were on their own in another place.
Well, the reason why I ask it is, and the reason why I'm saying it's madness, is we all agreed to play under these rules and protocols that I'm assuming all the Big Ten teams have in place. They agreed. It's the same. The protocols are the same. And, you know, to bring in somebody from outside, even if you test them and they're negative, we all know that that doesn't mean anything specifically, you know, locked up. And I'm just wondering again, like, what the whole concept is about moving forward. And if you could wave a wand, would everybody want them out in the Big Ten? And, you know, and I admitted before, Bruce, that part of this is me still upset that Michigan's national championship was halved with Nebraska back in 1997 as a gold watch to Tom Osborne to send him along into retirement. So I'll ask you this question. We're going to drag him into this, Chris? Should we do that? You wanted me to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would have won that 1997 game between Michigan and Nebraska, in your estimation, Bruce?
Ooh, good question. The only thing I can say is, guess who I'm working with this weekend for Fox? The star of that team.
Which one?
Star of All-Star.
Which one?
Well, the star of the one you love the most.
Charles
the
Woodson.
One that you probably resent.
Charles Woodson, right. Okay. So, answer this as honestly as possible, knowing that you do have to see the Heisman Trophy winner, who would have an absolute answer probably similar to mine. But who do you think would have won that game in 97?
I really don't know. That's one I'm not copping out. I'll be honest. So much time has passed between now and then. I honestly couldn't tell you. If you asked me who did I think would have won between Miami and Washington, I would look at the talent Miami had, and as an NFL team, and I would look at it and go, all right, I think Miami was the better team than that Washington team. That one, I don't know. I mean, I would have loved to have seen it.
Me too.
But I don't think I look at it and go, oh yeah, Nebraska would have got beat by 2 touchdowns. It just didn't, you know, it didn't feel like those teams were that far apart.
No, they weren't. They were not that far apart. And I can personally attest to this with my recollection, that Rose Bowl was not a given either. You know, where Ryan Leaf and Washington State gave Michigan a nice run for their money. All of it. But, you know, best player on the field, with the ultimate respect to the current coach, to the current coach at Nebraska, Amon Green, who had an excellent career. Let's be totally honest here. I mean, the best player on the field won the Heisman Trophy over Peyton Manning, for crying out loud. And I would also pound the table. You want to talk about Hall of Famers that would have been on the field. You had one sitting right up front to protect Brian Greasy and Hutch. Steve Hutchinson was on that team. I mean, I could really go on and on about it.
I know you could. I can see you getting worked up about this.
I am.
He's so worked up.
I am worked up about it.
But you still get to claim you're the national title. Like no one's saying you didn't win it. That's still, you still have the trophy and the thing. You still get it on the letterhead. The fact that you share.
But so does Nebraska. So does Nebraska. So does Nebraska. They still get the same thing.
There's no shame in that. Though, the split national title to me, it's not like you know, this isn't like we got snubbed, we didn't get the national title, you know, or whatever. I mean, like, this to me is different than, like, if Vince Young, and I don't think Vince is, you know, seething about this, but if Vince Young is pissed off because somebody at USC got his Heisman or whatever, like, he didn't get that. Now, he won a national title subsequent to that. But, like, to me, when you split the national championship, nobody can stop you from saying you're the national title team. You have the hardware. Like, you know, it's a fun argument to say who would win, and I'm sure people have done computer simulations on that game and all, but, you know, it's like, that's the, you know, look, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's been a long time since Michigan football's had something really to pump the fist about, you know. So at least you have that.
Wow. Ask the poll question. Have you come up with a poll question on this, Chris?
Yeah, so Bruce, based on this, which hypothetical matchup would you most have liked to have seen? So 97 Michigan-Nebraska, 03 LSU-USC, 91 Washington Miami, 90 Georgia Tech Colorado. See, these are all split titles.
Yeah, I don't think any. You know, I didn't think anybody was beating that USC team at that point. Not those. You know, those other teams. You know, to me, the most interesting one is the one that Rich is worked up about. To be honest, I'm not just preaching to the choir. I look at that Miami team and I'm thinking, well, they're way more talented, I think, than Washington was. I know Washington was really good. I mean, the Georgia Tech CU one, it's, you know, it feels so far removed. And also, by the way, those are programs, it's like, let them have those, you know, those national titles in terms of that. Because, I mean, look where those programs are right now, right, for a long time. And Georgia Tech has been pretty far down the last couple of years. So, I don't know. The Nebraska-Michigan one would be the one I would be most interested to watch play out, because I think that's the one that's the biggest toss-up.
Okay. Bruce, I appreciate the chat, and I appreciate the conversation here as well. Be safe. Say hi to Charles. Are you here in L.A. working with him? Are you going anywhere?
Yeah, we're gonna have a meeting probably in like 2 hours, and then we're on. Come watch us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on Fox.
Fantastic. We will be there. You take care of yourself. Oh, and that's leading up to Michigan State, correct?
It is. It is. So I know you'll be watching at least probably for the first half.
I will be because, you know, nothing excites me more settling into a Michigan game to hear what Urban Meyer thinks. Can't wait. That'll be great. Can't wait.
Charles is on there, though. So, look, you get to see Joe Milton in this offense. Why would people not want to see that?
Hey, Urban is my BFF. You ask him. You tell him I said hi, okay? We've watched some Super Bowls together, he and I. We've spent some time. He spent the time in a draft with me. I had to sit at the end of the set while he's sitting there as a Cheshire Cat watching one Ohio State guy after another get drafted in Chicago, in that draft in Chicago where they set a record for most draftees through the first three rounds, and Michigan had one, finally, at the end of that Friday night.
By the way, I can't ask him this because I honestly don't know. He may deep down really resent you, and I don't want to go there with him.
No, we're good. We are fine. And I was just joking. I will be there with bells on getting ready to watch Michigan take on a Michigan State team that turned it over seven times to Rutgers. I can't wait. This will be great. It'll be a great start to my Saturday tomorrow.
Perfect.
You take care of yourself, Bruce. Thanks for the call.
You too. Thank you, Rich.
You got it. I'm fired up, clearly. Clearly fired up. All right. I am sending a text right now to Hall of Famer, which he will be officially. He's officially a Hall of Famer. Yeah, as you know, he will be inducted once COVID is over. Steve Hutchinson, hey, man, who'd have won between you and Nebraska in 97?
Well, now you got to text someone from Nebraska, too.
I don't know anybody from Nebraska. Oops. Now, you've run the simulation.
There's a cool site called whatifsports.com.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So when we come back, you've run this 10 times?
I've run it 10 times.
All right. Nice. Fantastic. Oh, my gosh. These 2 minutes can't go fast enough. Back here on Peacock, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Mad respect for keeping up with this varsity bit.
What's the varsity? That the Cowboys are the varsity?
Yeah.
Is that what that is? So the rest of the NFL or just the rest of the NFC East is junior varsity?
Just depends on what time the game comes on. You know, a lot of times you want the varsity game after the JV games, and we just happen to be in the varsity slot this week. You
know, what letter does DiNucci have then?
Oh, he's got an A. He's going to be assistant captain this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have a photograph of who TJ is dressed as so we can at least give people who might not be Walking Dead fans a little bit of a perspective on who you are? Okay. Just to go ahead, tell everyone who you are again.
Oh, I thought we were pulling up a picture.
No, we don't have one yet.
All right, so if you're a Walking Dead fan, yes. King Ezekiel from The Kingdom.
That's who you are.
Welcome to The Kingdom, and I merged him with Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys to give you.
There you go, number
King
21.
King Ezekiel Elliott with Shiva, the tiger. Okay. Well, don't get too close because she hasn't been fed today.
That's how we're rolling here on the Rich Eisen Show today. We've got Walker Buehler of your Los Angeles Dodgers, your Los Angeles champion Los Angeles Dodgers, coming up in hour number two. I wasn't planning on talking about this today. I wasn't even planning on touching the whole Nebraska thing, but I got set off because I'm overtired and over-caffeinated again.
Those are the best shows.
You love those. You love those. Because, again, Nebraska trying to keep their kids sharp and fresh with a game against UT Chattanooga. And Big Ten saying, no, we're not doing that. And it leads me to believe, you know, like, what are they thinking? I know they're thinking. I shouldn't say that. I know they're trying to get a game for their kids. I know they're trying to stay sharp. That's the whole point of playing. I get it. But as we all know in this day and age in the virus, we can't always get what we want, to use the Rolling Stones phrase, and we sometimes need to modify our behavior. And the whole concept of bringing a team from another conference in, even if they've all tested negative, it's just like, hey, what happens if they're not? And now you're crossing streams with Northwestern the next week. No, thank you. So led me to believe, like, do they? And then I read Dan Wetzel of Yahoo. I'll say it again one more time. The headline of his column today is Nebraska's messy marriage with Big Ten getting uglier every day. And the whole thing is both sides are wondering, why are we doing this together? So I asked that of Bruce Feldman. And I also made mention that part of me is still angry about Michigan losing half of their national championship to Nebraska in 1997 because Tom Osborne was retiring, taking one last knee in victory formation, Tom Osborne. Here's a goal. Watch. We'll split the national championship with you, even though Michigan was the better team. And Chris, you have now done what? What have you spent the last few minutes of your time doing?
So there is a site called whatifsports.com, and they can go back and pit historical teams against one another for simulations. So I sim this out 10 times.
Okay.
10 times. You want individual results or do you just want the total? You want to be suspensed or
the total?
Michigan wins 6-4.
Okay.
6-4.
What if I texted Steve Hutchinson of that national championship team and asked him if Michigan would have who would have won the game?
Well, I know what he would have
Well, one out of one times I got a response. Of course, us. Silly question. Right. Just so you're aware, I have texted Charles Woodson the same question.
Okay, but I mean, do you have Eric Crouch's number or Amon Green?
No, Eric Crouch, this is, no, I don't.
Eric Crouch is a freshman on that.
I don't
Scott
have
Frost.
Okay. Who do I have? Do I have Amon Green's number? It's possible I've come across him. And
Tom Osborne?
I don't have Tom Osborne's number.
Okay.
I don't. Do I have Eric Crouch's number? We came across each other a long time ago. Nope, don't have his number. Hey, if you want to call in from Nebraska Cornhusker Nation. Make your case.
There you go.
What if 60% of the time?
What if?
We've posted our poll question.
Yeah, so that's up. I actually did have an NFL poll question for today as well.
Okay, what else do you have in mind there?
Another one, which quarterback under the most pressure this weekend? Quarterback pressure. Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, Tua, Nick Foles.
I think I think the you'd think it would be Tua, but as we saw yesterday, I don't think that guy feels an ounce of it.
Maybe not.
That's a good one. Put that out there too. We'll throw there's no rule on how many poll questions we can throw out.
There is not.
There is a rule what we do on a Friday, and that's all still ahead. That's all still ahead. We got 2 hours to go. We've got three guests and all of the material, including the three games that are under the radar. There's three games under the radar that not a lot of people are talking about for week eight in the NFL. I've got those three games. We also have Chris Brockman's sneaky good games. And I did text you over the week. I don't know if you're going to avail yourself of that option this week, that you could throw a college game in there.
I have a bonus college game.
Yeah. Oh, it's bonus.
So bonus.
It's three plus one. Three plus one.
3+1 this week.
Bonus. Okay. Three shots and then a bonus.
Boom.
And it's the same format to higher register, where you, TJ, and I give a belief that we have that we need to go up here to actually believe.
I believe.
And then Del Tufo comes in with a bonus.
Yep. I have a bonus.
Do you, or
do you
just
have
said
one?
That because I just mentioned it? You don't have
no,
one.
I think it up when you guys are during
oh,
the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so wait. I think it up.
We actually put some time into it.
Right.
No, mine's usually just
all
from
good.
The cuff.
That's later
that's
on.
How I work.
And then I've got my unluckiest lock of the week where I'm just hooked on a feeling. I have the feeling that there's going to be an upset coming.
Do you have a feeling?
I do have a feeling.
Oh, baby.
I do have a feeling. Now, last week, if I said Washington football team, you rejected that out of hand because that was a coin flip game?
Pick 'em. That was a pick 'em game.
And what is the, because again, as you know, I don't ever condone this sort of stuff. What is the measure by which you have decided that it an unluckiest lock of the week has to be what?
It's got to be more than a field goal, at least four. At least 4 points either way.
Okay. Let's go to Michael in Pennsylvania. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Michael?
Hey, nice. That nice quick turnaround.
Hey, no, you got it. You're first in, first up. What's up?
That's what's up. And it's Murrow Reese Jr., as you know me on Twitter. Actually, I wanted to, by the way, if anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, I'm Michael at Mike48Football.
Okay.
At Mike48Football.
By the way, so you're aware of this before you take your time here, Mike. We understand that you view this as a significant platform to go and accrue yourself some followers. And as a self-promotional bastard myself, I approve that message. I absolutely
thank
approve
you.
That message.
I like the style.
Thank you. All right, real quick.
Yes.
So before I get into the what you were just talking about with the Michigan thing, I wanted to comment on that. I would try to get in yesterday, but I couldn't with the pizza stuff.
Okay.
Real quick story. This is hilarious. So I'm dating – I was dating from Philly, from the Philly area.
Yep.
And she lives in King of Prussia. And I go over there, and it's the first date where I meet mom and her sisters.
Uh-huh.
And we're all sitting there, and they had pizza. And it was the first time someone ever asked me if I wanted a knife and fork with my pizza. And I looked and I said, excuse me? And I was like, no. And I was like, no, thank you. I picked up my pizza, I folded it, and I'll tell you what, I think I struck out. That was like a big no-no. That
you
was
know
like
what? There are some things in life, again, and I know you called in about something else, but I got to run because we're up against it. So you call back another time. There are some things in life. There are some signposts. If only, Mike, when you met your future ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
If her family had asked you if you wanted a knife and fork for your pizza, you'd have saved yourself years of heartbreak, heartache.
13 years of
dollars out. Your Emmy would be intact because she wouldn't have
yes.
thrown it at you. Like, seriously,
money.
If there was only that warning sign, that bright, blinking, red warning
signs,
sign of would you like a knife and fork? That means, you know, you are now exposed to a family of psychopaths.
What if they ordered pineapple pizza?
Psychopaths.
Like, I'm out.
Our video yesterday
went nuts
of talking about the worst pizza fouls and number one being using a fork and knife on a slice of pizza. It went crazy. And nobody said anything other than the fact spot on. Spot on, Rich, including people who do that on a slice with anchovy and pineapple, worthy of El Chapo-type Supermax treatment. Walker Buehler coming up. And we're still here on our Peacock feed. Okay? Now, are we going to dive into the world of Halloween candy today? Isn't that what you suggested yesterday, TJ, that we dive into Halloween candy?
I mean, why not?
All right.
Might as well go for it. Because, you know, the pizza moved people. Everyone loves pizza. Everybody has an opinion on Halloween candy.
Are we talking full-size bars or the fun-size Halloween candy bars?
Are we workshopping this before we bring it to the full radio audience?
I mean, look, if you've given out the full king-size Snickers, then you know your house is one of our favorites.
Right.
But
most people
are going to give away. Yeah, but that's also, first of all, it's definitely expensive.
Yeah, so we won't hold that against you.
And then, two, it is something my kid, pre-pandemic, because they're not trick-or-treating, they're going house to house this year.
Yeah, we're just imagining that.
No, what I'm saying, if I had taken my children to a house, and they handed them one of those huge-ass king-size Snickers.
Oh, baby.
And my kid would be like, this is great. I'm going to have this literally for the next 2.5 years. And I would basically go up to that house and go, what is your malfunction?
I would go home, get another costume, get another
complain?
One.
You would complain?
I would say, what are you doing? Of course.
What?
That's a double costume. I'd go change and get another one.
Let's come back to this.
Come back to it? Okay, fine. We're back. Hour number one is in the books.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.